And that's one of the things about religion that we have to remember when we're talking about that makes it such a hot topic issue is because we're talking about law. Who gets to be God? Who gets to be God's deputies? Who is the Most High? Who is the divine authority? It's all about the claim to the Most High. The only way that somebody can be higher than us is if we give away our power. Because there's nobody, we're all equal. But we're not equal in our knowledge, so ultimately, I think it does have to be a hierarchy, but it has to be a cooperative hierarchy, like a bee colony. It's about what our value system is, what we care about.
Yes, I am.
Cool. Hello, Hive Mind. Today is October 15th, 2020. I am your host, Nate Kapp, joined by co-host Brandon Martin. Welcome to the 22nd Cubbyhole Podcast, where important topics are unveiled, discussed, and tested. Our website is cubbyhole.com. That's CUBBYWHOLE.com. And as of now, a new show will be released every Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific time and every Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific time. Welcome back on, Brandon.
It's a great pleasure to be back on here with you, Nathan. And I'm super excited to get into the topics that we have laid out for the viewing audience today.
Yeah, man. This is really exciting. I'm really stoked to get into the topics that we've already, you know, laid out, but that we're going to be getting into, because this is really, really important information. But before we get started, Brandon is going to get us caught up on the Seed for Growth event, which is coming up next May of 2021. So go ahead and give us the update on what's going on with that.
Well, the first thing I'd like to do for new listeners, because I know a lot of people don't listen to these in chronological order like they should be listening to them in, is that for the question, what is the Seed Conference? The Seed Conference is a two-day conference featuring a proactive approach to the task of spreading significant occult knowledge of consciousness, mind control, truth, spirituality, self-awareness, sovereignty, and many other topics, especially things that we've been talking about on this podcast. And we're going to have top caliber speakers from all over the place coming in to share their content, to really help to bring to the forefront some of the information that is needed to help enlighten yourself to what's going on in our world. So, you know, this is supposed to be an event that is to get people together, to bring them together so that we can meet face to face, make connections, build a great network with each other. And I would highly recommend coming to this event. It has been something of a dream of mine for a long time to be able to hold these conferences, and to be able to have it at the Baker University in Athens, Ohio is such a blessing for all of us. And it's just going to be an amazing place that we're going to be it's going to be an amazing place that we're presenting at. It's going to be in the theater room of the Baker University. So there's plenty of space for people. There will be vendors there. We will also have some after hours, events and things like that, that I'll be enlightening people to in the future. You can get all the information for the event at the Eventbrite page. So just go to eventbrite.com, and that's B-R-I-T-E, Brite.com. And then just search for Seed for Growth, and it should pop right up. If you need to, you can log in the date as well, which is May 14th and 15th, and that will narrow your search results down. But from there, you'll be able to purchase tickets, and you'll be able to find our payment options, which we do accept, things like PayPal and cryptocurrency also. And I would prefer that people bought the tickets through crypto if they could. I would rather you buy it through that to get away from some of the other control mechanisms, though there are issues with crypto. But yeah, I would prefer if you bought your tickets through crypto. For all the people who have already purchased tickets, your tickets are held and they are solid. And we really thank and appreciate that you held your tickets for this event. That money is going right directly to the speakers and to the location fee and the travel fees of the speakers. And that's how we're taking care of this. A lot of it's coming directly out of my pocket and everything else is being done by the people. So this is really a cooperative effort to have this done. And as long as the travel bans do not increase, then we will definitely be continuing with the same itinerary that we've had from the beginning. So we do have a couple people coming from out of the country. That's why I mentioned the travel bans, because if they do increase to a significant degree, then those people might not be able to attend. But just in case that happens, I do have some backup speakers, which I will be putting on the event page. Just in case, you know, that is going to happen. Now, let's say that we have a really bad scenario where we cannot have this event again and we have to like postpone it. Well, I'm going to do everything that I can. And with my team, I'm going to make sure that we hold this event on a Zoom or some type of Zoom platform, some type of conference platform online. And anybody who has bought tickets already will get refunded to the extent or to whatever extent that they want. If they want to hold a place for that conference, then we will be asking for a little bit of monetary contribution to make sure that everything runs smooth. And, you know, I have a team that can help me with all this stuff. But other than that, the tickets were going to be like 75% cheaper or around that. And I will have all that information up also. So I just wanted to let people know that there are backup plans for the kind of restrictions that we are currently under. Now, just to give a brief overview of the speakers, we will be having Tony Palmentera, who is a philosophical anarchist. We will be having Sean McCann, who is also a philosophical anarchist and a symbolist. We will be having Nathan Radet, who teaches natural law, teaches about hemp and self-sufficiency a little bit. Dylan McCormick, who will be teaching about the natural right of self-defense. We will be having Douglas Martin speaking on The Origins of Secret Societies, Part 2. We will also be having the well-known Mark Devlin, who will be speaking. I think he's talking about, what is he speaking on? He's speaking on No More Heroes. His presentation is about No More Heroes, which I really recommend looking into his work. It's really astounding. We will have Indica Martin. She will be giving a small talk about Give to Nature and Nature Will Give to You, which will be revolving around her book and the principles, the Hermetic Principles and Principles of Natural Law. We will have a musical performance by Ryan Swisher, and also Mark Devlin will be doing a DJ performance at the event. I will be speaking, Brandon Martin, and I'll be speaking upon epistemology, and my presentation is called Sight Beyond Illusions. And then we have Nate Kapp speaking, who will be speaking on the imagination. His presentation is named Reillumination of the Imagination. And then finally, the home run hitter will be Mark Passio. And this will be his last live performance out of his local area, as far as what I know, that is still true. And so I really recommend coming to see this amazing, amazing, enlightened spiritual person speak and, you know, being a part of this event. I mean, he's going to be speaking on fake-ass anarchists, so if that tells you anything, you should definitely, you know, be excited about that, because I know I am, because there's a lot of fake-ass anarchists out there. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's the lineup for the conference. If you need any kind of information, you can message me directly or email me directly at ciaprints.com. That's ciaprints@yahoo.com. And then, so if you have any problems with hotels or transportations or anything like that, you're welcome to message me directly. Give me about a week to get back to you. I only check my email about twice a week. Other than that, all the information is provided on the Facebook pages, the Facebook event page, and the Eventbrite page. Plus, we have the information on the Cubbyhole website. So I think that pretty much covers it, Nate.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate your efforts to make all this happen. I think it's really cool that you're, you know, putting so much time and effort into something that is so vital and so important, and something that I don't see enough people doing. So kudos to you, man. I think this is going to be a fantastic opportunity for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm really excited to bring in all these like-minded people and top caliber speakers, you know, because we are trying to have a proactive approach to spreading the knowledge of natural law and truth to amplify and raise consciousness so that we can end the current iniquities and suffering that we're suffering from currently, you know.
Absolutely.
So I'm really happy to get all these great speakers together. And all the people who are going to come to help support this, you know, I give a very deep thank you from the most, you know, essential place of my soul that goes out to you. And I'm really excited to meet all of you in person. And hopefully, you know, we will really start to expand on these conferences, because there's not enough conferences out there going on. Especially right now with the medical tyranny that's been going on, you can't even really get together for a small event or anything like that. So, you know, I think this is really crucial to what we're facing right now in this time period.
For sure. Yeah, and it's more vital now than ever. So, okay, well, we're gonna go ahead and move on, and I'm just going to go over what was on the last show. We covered some of the methods of mind control and how the dominators control the mind, which controls and holds in place the illusion of separation of the spirit from the body, which is how they keep people in the state of materialism and cognitive dissonance, where they completely ignore truth because it goes against their held beliefs. So, because they're not mindful, and this is what makes it easy for others to control someone's human body. It's done through the mind, the control of mind. It's about refusing truth and then accepting that which is not true. That's how we're fooled. And this is why we have to take this work seriously, because they, the dominators, they take their work very serious because they care. And I mean, they put lots of time and attention into getting things done the way they want it, whether what they do causes others to suffer or not. So today, Brandon and I are going to go further into mind control and begin to reveal many of the many ways in which the mind is and can be manipulated and controlled through specific techniques and influences. And this is part of understanding the occult. It's about understanding what occult knowledge is. So we're going to get into symbolism, wordplay, imagination, and, you know, some other methodologies of mind control. And I'm gonna start off with this quote by Gustave Le Bon. He says, "The masses have never thirsted after truth. They turn aside from evidence that is not their to their taste, preferring to deify error if error seduced them." So he's saying they like being lied to. "Whoever can supply them with illusions is easily their master. Whoever attempts to destroy their illusions is always their victim," which are those who speak truth. And, you know, most people hate them. You know, they hate those who speak truth. They love the comfort of the, you know, quote unquote authority to tell them what is true and what is not true. And when it comes to control, this is why it is important to know occult knowledge, because the dominators, the sorcerers, the dark occultists, you know, the powers that shouldn't be of this world, they don't want people to know their techniques and influences, because then they wouldn't be able to control them. This is why they make us fear symbols and words, and fear into looking into things like the occult or Illuminati or Freemasonry or Satanism, because they don't want us to look into them, as it would because it'll cause disobedience and they would lose their power over the people. It's about getting people divided in a mental schism right where you want them, you know, just keep them afraid of the knowledge of what they consider to be evil or what is evil, and they will reject that knowledge. Therefore, they will not know or understand what is really taking place, both within themselves and around them in the area in which they operate, because they'll never understand the techniques and influences that are employed against them. And, you know, this is essentially how mind control works. This is really important to consider, and it's foolish to ignore these things. And these dark occultists, you know, who know these techniques, they know how to influence the minds of the masses, and they have been doing so for thousands of years. They are top-notch psychologists. They know and understand how the mind operates, and have known for a long time, because this type of knowledge, like I said, goes all the way back into our ancient past. It's important to understand that if we don't learn from our past, we are doomed to repeat it. And this is why we must learn this type of information collectively, because otherwise these dark occultists have their way, and the disturbing, you know, bloody history repeats itself once again. It always has, and, you know, it doesn't always have to. You know, we are wanted ignorant about our true history. You know, the history that's not propagated in our his story books. You know, I'm talking about our past, the events in our past that actually took place. The, you know, horrifying mass genocide that keeps reoccurring as a result of tyrants and people's ignorance to evils that rise. See, what we have to understand is we were never taught how to see the patterns or parallels of our past in correspondence with our present, you know, in the present day. And our ignorance of our past blinds us from seeing the growing doom of today in the present. You know, history repeats itself, and it always has, because that's how time works in the sense of, you know, cycles and wave patterns. And this is all about understanding the principle of rhythm. This is about understanding that if there are cycles, then we are granted opportunities to learn from our past, so that way we grow and move forward and stop repeating, you know, the things that destroy us the most. And even if we were to learn the lesson, then we would be challenged to prove that we've learned the lesson by this time cycle, you know, by the rhythmic wave that comes with the opportunities we need. And if we don't recognize those patterns, then we squander our opportunity to our learning, to our growth, you know, and our advancement in consciousness. That's really important to understand. And as a result, you know, suffering will be attached to that squandered opportunity, those squandered opportunities. So part of understanding the past is about understanding how this streamed occult knowledge has been hidden, how it's been compartmentalized, you know, how it's structured in hierarchy, you know, handed over to those who are supposedly deemed worthy of being the only ones who should be receiving it, and, you know, those who claim to be the keepers of that knowledge. This is how they have been able to socially engineer and bring in so much covert control over people. That's how it's ultimately accomplished, through covert control. And that's because covert control is not easily seen or spotted, while overt control is. And this is why we have to understand that occult means hidden from sight. So not easily seen. It's about understanding that, you know, that which is hidden from sight. This is why it mostly goes unchallenged. It's because it's unseen. Only available to the initiated who have begun to decode the hidden knowledge, the occult knowledge. And many people will say that there's no need to know this type of information. And as long as they don't look into it, they won't be affected by it. And this is part of the New Ageism belief, where people will say, as long as I don't look into the negative things, then it can't affect me, which is completely halfway thinking and it's halfway seeing. Okay, so it's about, you know, big picture understanding, which, you know, can't be found in this way of thinking, you know, halfway thinking. And it's totally okay and cool to focus on positive things and, you know, live positively and put your attention into, you know, like healing and meditation and things that, you know, bring happiness, which I believe should be part of our, you know, lifestyles. But if you don't understand the covert methodologies of mind control and how mind control is being used to subvert people's consciousness, meaning their thoughts, meaning their emotions, and their actions, then you are essentially powerless to stop the negative patterns from recurring when they come up again. And in future times, as well as in future times, as these time cycles move forward into the future, it's important to know how these techniques, not just for ourselves, but it's about understanding that the young are attacked from an early age with tons of indoctrination, and it's our responsibility to protect them from these methodologies of control. You know, not to mention, you know, medicines, chemicals, and weaponized technologies that are being used on them and us. You know, and even bigger reason why learning this type of information is so critical is because we get to learn about our own psyche, our own mind, and how it works in the process of decoding these negative and often psychopathic techniques that are utilized by these, you know, dark occultists, these sorcerers, you know? Did you want to add anything, Brandon?
Oh, I didn't know if you were done yet, Nate.
I'm done. Sorry, man. I know that was a lot.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were going to continue to explain some more there. As far as what you've said, you are absolutely dead on. We have to understand the way the mind works and the way the mind is manipulated. Because if we do not understand the techniques which are being waged against us and utilized against us to keep the control mechanisms in the forefront and keep them functioning the way they are, then we will not make a change. And that is, like what you said, why a lot of our history our written history, our literary history, has repeated itself over and over because we, first of all, do not read, especially the correct books, and secondly, we do not learn from what we actually have read. We don't go back and take the knowledge that we have already gained and backtrack, because mm-hmm. that's how you make a trail, right? You have to go down the trail and then back over the trail to actually make an imprint on the land, to make a trail, you know? So this is a path, and a path has to be walked forward and backwards. So,
you know,
the New Agers, like you had brought up, they tend to have a lot of really good things to say, like you were talking about, especially when it comes to health, mental health. And they are, you know, for the most part, in my understanding, really on board with the do no harm principle. But they do not understand things like the self-defense principle. And they also fear to look at the negative. And as long as we are in a consciousness of fear, then we will be controlled, because that is how mind control works, is by, you know, imprinting the wave frequency of fear onto our own, so that we behave from fear. And like we've explained, when it comes to what parts of the brain are active and functioning when we are in that modality of consciousness, we can see why they would target us with these types of manipulation tactics. So I think we need to understand exactly what the negative is. And I think we need to get out of the fear of looking at what the negative is, because our beliefs don't matter when it comes to that. It will have an effect on us. You know, you might not believe that what other people believe will affect you, but it will affect you, especially when they act upon that belief to actually manifest harm into reality. So just because you don't believe mind control is taking place, which in fact, in my understanding and my research, is part of mind control, is getting people to believe that mind control is not taking place, to make it, you know, super covert by getting people to not look in those areas. You know, that is something that we need to really understand, is that your belief does not matter when it comes to what other people believe and how they act upon that, mm-hmm. you know? So another thing I wanted to add, because you mentioned the occult. Well, do a small experiment. Go out with your friends, go wherever you go to hang out, you know, and ask them what they think the definition of occult is. Pass around a single piece of paper to each of them, where they all have individual papers, so nobody can see each other's answers, obviously, and have them write down the first thing that comes to their mind when they hear the word occult. And I guarantee that a lot of people will bring back dark magic. Evil is one of the main things that I've got back from a lot of people, especially a lot of people in religious mindsets. And this is part of that mind control, because they don't want you to understand what the occult is. They don't want you to understand what the hidden sciences of how reality actually works, and all the hidden, you know, functions of how the dark occultists are using their knowledge of psychology and knowledge of sociology and how everything works in this world. And especially the laws of nature. They understand the laws of nature to a high degree, and they know how to, you know, really make sure that people fear looking at those things.
Right.
And this is done through things like propaganda. You know, they propagandize ideas. They make them trendy. They make them feel good. They wrap them in colorful bows and makes the aesthetic really pleasing to the eyes, so that people are really attracted to the propaganda, to the mind control. And like we've stated before, you know, the best place to hide a lie is in between a truth, you know?
Right. Exactly. You know, and it's our job to become conscious of mind control and occult knowledge, even if, you know, it's perceived to be evil or satanic or, you know, quote unquote negative. You know, remember, knowledge is neither good nor bad. It's neutral. It's what, you know, it's basically what someone does with that knowledge that makes it good or bad.
Absolutely. I can't agree with you more. Like you said, even if people do think the word occult or looking into the occult is somehow bad or it's evil in itself, you need to know how evil functions in the world. We all need to know the way that evil functions in the world. That's the process of becoming more aware of how to steer ourselves away from the harm that evil can manifest. So we need to dive into the psychology of what evil actually is and the roots of it and why it starts to manifest. This is something I don't see a lot of people talking about, is, you know, where does all these mental illnesses come from when it comes to being a narcissist, when it comes to being a sadist or a sadomasochist, you know, when it comes to being a psychopath. You know, we need to understand the minds of these individuals and the ideas that are running behind those individuals so that we can understand why those things are taking place. And it's not like we're lacking that understanding already. Like you mentioned, you know, the dark occultists know the way the psychology works. They are ancient psychologists that understand all this, and we have all the knowledge at our fingertips now. We can access it through the internet. Mm-hmm. And I highly recommend accessing it through hard copy books, because that's the best way to really get that, that's untampered with through censorship and things like that.
Right.
But also be careful with books, because they can be republished, and you might find that one publishing company takes out certain things. And we know about, you know, all the mind control and the control that comes in with publishing companies, just like it comes out through the social media networks and the other media platforms that are out there.
Yeah, you really got to be eclectic, for sure.
Right. We have to be eclectic with our research and what we're accumulating as far as the data that we need to make a change in this world. And this is all about understanding ourselves. People think that understanding yourself is just about looking at your own behaviors. It's not. You have to look at other people's behaviors to understand who you are. You're connected to them. They are a part of you, and you are a part of them. So you need to look at other people's behaviors and look at other people's ideas. And we need to study history and really become fluent. We don't have to have all the minutiae, obviously, of all of these things, but we need to have a general understanding so that we can defend ourselves against manipulation and against the way out of control dark occultists that are just running us into the cesspool of, you know, de-evolution and running us down into the grime of turning us into golems, pretty much, you know, not even spiritual beings anymore. We're just puppets for them to control. So, you know, we really do need to put an emphasis on how important it is to understand the occult and the psychology and the mind, the mindsets of individuals and history.
Right. Exactly, man. What I want to ask you, what are some of the techniques that these dark occultists, these sorcerers, what are the techniques that or some of the techniques that they use on our minds on a daily? Can you give us a rundown of that?
Yeah, I can give you a few that I feel that are some of the most beneficial that have come from, you know, multiple other researchers that have done far more work than I ever have into this topic. You know, the techniques of mind control are multifaceted, right? They are extremely multifaceted. And I'll give you a list here of some of the ones that another researcher, Mark Passio, has put out that I feel gets to the root of how mind control works. Okay, so we're going to start out with the first technique could be utilized as obfuscation. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you all these, and then we can go through them and explain some of them throughout this episode and then the coming episodes in the future. So the first one, obfuscation. The second one, worldview poisoning. The third one is primal fears, playing on primal fears of individuals. The fourth one, divide and conquer strategy. And a lot of people are pretty familiar with this. This is what we talked about when it comes to the Hegelian dialectic and the abuse of the Hegelian dialectic. The fifth one, indoctrination. This is, comes down to us through the modern education system. The sixth one, controlled opposition. We see this running amok in the political narratives that we have. And with this whole mob rule, you know, crap system that we have in politics, where we have one versus the other, you know. The seventh one, the financial system, the debt-based fiat currency system that we have. And I think money is probably one of the biggest forms of mind control that runs our world. You know, I think money is one of the most evil things that has ever existed. It literally is mind control. You know, to believe that money exists in nature, it means that you're under mind control. Money doesn't exist. It is not a real intrinsic thing. It is a subjective thing that we have placed value upon, and it is being utilized against us to keep us in poverty and keep us fighting amongst ourselves. And I really would like to hammer on that one in the future.
Oh, for sure.
Right. We really need to hammer on that one. So the eighth one is the control of mass media. And we can see this especially right now with what's going on with the plandemic and all this COVID, you know, bull crap. And the control of mass media, most people should already be, you know, aware that the media has been controlled from day one. And those who don't understand that, you know, they are definitely under mind control. I mean, for one example, just look at how they use colors in the mass media. What are the two primary colors that you see on the channels of Fox or CNN? Or, you know, you're going to see reds and blues, and we're going to explain why that is, because it ties in with these techniques of mind control. The ninth one is food and medicine, where we're being warred on through our food and medicine. And yes, this is how mind control works. It works through our food and medicine. And we have to be cautious of what we're putting into our body, what we're putting into our mind, whatever we're taking into ourselves, we become. So we have to be really conscious about what we're putting in our system so that, you know, our bodies can develop proper immune systems and proper self-defense systems. And to keep us healthy is to keep us strong. To keep our mind healthy is to keep our body healthy. And to keep our body healthy is to keep our mind healthy. The other one, the 10th one, is the illusion of time. And I find it, you know, just to add in here, I find it very synchronistic, the numerological significance of some of these mind control techniques lining up with these numbers this way. And we can explain that more in the future, too. But for those who know and for those who have the eyes to see, the illusion of time falling on 10 is not a coincidence. You know, that is synchronistic. So the illusion of time, you know, this whole living by the 9-to-5 job, living by physical time, you know, and time gets equated into currency also. So currency and the financial system and the illusion of time play hand in hand. These all overlap sure. with each other because they all connect with each other.
I wanted to say something about that 9-to-5, you know, like immediately it just made me think of, you know, 9 being the number of ego and then 5 being the 5-sense illusion, you know? So 9 to the ego into the 5-sense illusion every day.
Right. I never thought about the 5 that way. That's a really good point that you just brought up there, Nate. That's an amazing point. Okay, so 11 is what is called the DHR factor. Now, this stands for denial, harassment, and ridicule. And, you know, just to give a simple example of this, this is really hitting home right now with a lot of the conspiracy peoples, you know, just like what you were talking about when you spoke about conspiracy. You know, first, when people come in contact with the truth, it's denied, and then it's, you know, you get harassed for it, and then you're ridiculed from it. You know, people deny it, they harass you about it, and they ridicule you. They make fun of you, they mock you for even looking into these things. And this is, you know, this is a form of emotional mind control on people, because it makes people feel inadequate, and really taps into their emotions of trying to, you know, make behaviors or perform behaviors and put on the mask for other people so they look better for other people and things like that. That happens a lot. But if they can get you to feel bad about looking into these things, then why would you want to do that? You know, right. Why would you want to look into these things if you are looking at yourself like, oh, I'm a bad person, no one's going to like me because I'm talking about the occult? You know, well, what I say to that, it doesn't matter if people like you. Speak it whether they like you or not. It's not about whether they like you. It's about speaking the truth. It's about making a change, you know? And really, I don't want these scumbag elite overlords to like me. You know, they shouldn't like me. And I am their, technically their enemy in this battle, you know, because we are waging war against mind control. That's what we're doing. This is an informational war at this point, and we need to get our techniques in order about how we deal with this information.
100%.
But 12, right, you know, 100% completely. So number 12, which I also find synchronistic as well, religion as binding, as a means of sorcery, which you spoke on in the recent episode. The next one, 13, subversive symbolism, and then the final, chaos sorcery. So I feel that these really get to a root, some of the roots of all of the forms of manipulation that we're dealing with today. There's a lot more that we can go into. We can go into all of the CIA programs, things like Project Artichoke, Project Monarch, MK Ultra, Project Blue Beam, and all these other crazy, you know, mind control techniques techniques that have been utilized by governments and by intelligent agencies for,
intelligent agencies.
Yeah, right. Quote unquote intelligent. They're not really intelligent. You're definitely right about that. Hopefully we can open the book on some of those things and really get into a few of those things. I don't really want to cover every little aspect of, let's say, MK Ultra. I think there's plenty of places you can go for that information, but I will give a few sources and resources where you can look this stuff up, especially authors. You know, I can give you three right now off the top of my head, or at least two authors right now. I would highly recommend that if you're interested in understanding techniques of mind control, that the first book you should pick up is Mass Control, Engineering Human Consciousness by Jim Keith.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's great.
That is one of the most profound books that you can read about how the elites engineer human consciousness. When I read this book, it really opened my eyes to how meticulous they are when it comes to strategically making sure that we are under their control.
Yeah, and there's also go ahead.
And he has another book also, which I would recommend, which is Mind Control, World Control. And I feel that really states what we're talking about here, because if we are individually controlled in the mind by others, then the world is also being controlled. So it reflects outwardly with that correspondence principle, that as we become more mind controlled as a species, the world becomes more locked in chains, you know? And I think you did a really great job with your presentation of Earth Brain, which really gets into the correspondence of the brain compared to the world and the earth.
Appreciate it. There's another book that I recommend is The Science of Influence by Kevin Hogan. And it's very, very highly recommended, because it's about understanding how the dark occultists are professional influencers. And you can see all the techniques that they use in order to, you know, get what they want. And, you know, and that's something we're going to get into on here.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that book, actually, Nate. So I'm going to write that down and make sure to pick me up a copy.
Yeah, it's really good.
Another thing when it comes to mind control is, you know, you have soft-based mind control and hard-based mind control. Soft-based mind control is more of incrementally influencing people through subtle injections of propaganda into the society or into the mind of an individual. And this really takes place when a child is in the formative years of their development. And this is between the years of, you know, birth and 7 years old, up to 7 years old. And this is because how the brain develops and how the brain and the body is building itself at this time period, because we are laying the format of the hard drive of that individual. That's why it's called the formative years, because we are laying the format of what that individual is going to base a lot of its behaviors off of as it develops and grows into an adult, or he or she develops and grows, you know, grows up. So we really got to be conscious parents. We need to inspire more conscious parenting when it comes to our children. Do not steer away from teaching your children about what's going on in the world. I see this far too much with people where they withhold the truth from their children out of fear, fear-based consciousness, you know, to make sure that, oh, well, I want to make sure that they live this happy, perfect little life. Well, guess what? Life isn't always going to be happy. Your kids are going to get upset. They're going to have emotions. They're going to get hurt. You need to sit down and talk to them as an adult would, you know? Right. It reminds me of like how people do baby talk to people, right? Baby, not, you know, to babies, right? You got this goo-goo, ga-ga, talking to them that way. And, you know, you can do that, whatever you want. But when you do that all the time to that child, how is that brain processing that information? Is it processing it like, hey, I need to understand this because I'm developing and I need to be able to communicate as I develop more? Or is it like it just doesn't comprehend what the meaning of that is, because there's really like no meaning behind it besides an emotional expression, mm-hmm. you know, emotional expression of getting the child to laugh or getting the child to smile or something like that. You can do that through literal words, you know. You don't have to do a goo goo gaga and make yourself, you know, sound like an idiot to do that. And and you know what I'm talking about,
of course, right? Yeah, I'm just like that, you know. Whenever I'm around a baby, my voice doesn't change, but I will admit, like, you know, when I'm around a little dog, I do that. I definitely tend to do that, because I don't know. I feel like it's, you know, with dogs, it's more of an emotional thing. And I know that, you know, I know dogs pick up on words too, and they pick up on tones. But with a baby, I just feel like, oh, this is a being, and I want to be, you know, honest with this being. You know, I don't want to, you know, give anything to that little baby that's not going to be beneficial. And, you know, that doesn't mean like I can't have fun and like, you know, say silly things in a silly way, or make silly noises. Right. But, you know, for the most part, I'm direct with any being, no matter how old or how young.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you have to come off harsh or anything like that. Right. And it doesn't mean you can't be playful. You can be playful, exactly. You can have fun, you can have joy, and you can still inspire the brain to process the information correctly, because that's what you're really trying to do, is inspire a being to become more intelligent. You're trying to help evolve this being, and the best way to protect a being is by giving them the truth, by giving them the ways that these things work. And if you don't know how these things work, like mind control, then how are you going to teach it to your children? You need to understand that, because when those children go out to deal with society and the way society is now, if they don't have any defenses, especially intellectually or emotionally, then they are at the whims of everybody else's perceptions and everybody else's dictates. So we have to really be conscious parents when it comes to raising our children, because we are trying to really bring in freedom. This isn't just about, you know, my little bubble freedom. This is about holistic freedom for the whole species. That's why we do this. This is a serious thing. We have to take this work seriously, and not enough people are serious. I mean, it reminds me of that little thing with the Joker, that quote with the Joker, why so serious, right?
Right.
And it's like, well, why wouldn't you be serious when our species is running itself into devolution and, you know, complete slavery? Why wouldn't you take that seriously? That doesn't mean you can't have fun. Doesn't mean you can't listen to music, make music, go out, hang out with your friends. It just means you got to get your priorities straight and understand what kind of real situation that we're in. We're trying to, you know, get rid of the illusions. This is one of the illusions that people have. This is part of that mind control. They do not want to look at reality for what it is. And one reason why is because it's got so out of control with how much harm is being done in society that they fear to deal with that, because it also means personal responsibility, and people fear personal responsibility. I think that's one of the leading things that people fear is personal responsibility.
Absolutely. And, you know, something that is very important to understand is mind control is all about the robbery of someone's imagination, you know, through manipulation. And so what I mean by this is, if you don't use your imagination, someone else gladly will, and they are, especially if someone is living and operating in society without knowledge of self, and, you know, without occult knowledge of self. And so, you know, we're being, you know, force-fed useless information. And, you know, it's for the purpose of control. And, you know, when we're not taking this responsibility serious, then we become polarized, and we get caught up in these, you know, controlled dialectics. And, you know, it's just really important that we take ourselves seriously and figure out how the mind really works in order to, you know, bring a more harmonious balance back into the world.
Absolutely, Nate. The war on the imagination is something that is so prevalent in my eyes. You know, I see this everywhere. And what also really stirs me on the inside when I look at what's going on is how things like art or artists are used to fuel slavery. You know, this is something that Plato talked about, is the weaponization of art and how it can be used as a means of propagandizing the youth and controlling them, you know. So we have to be really careful about what we're working towards and what we're working with, because, you know, I'm pretty sure that a lot of people don't want to be contributing to the benefits of their masters, you know.
Right.
They don't want to sit there and you know, make a great masterpiece, and then most of the profits, if not all the profits of whatever that profit might be, that profit could be financially or spiritually or, you know, emotionally or any of this, you know, to inspire the youth with knowledge through art and things like this. If that profit is monopolized by these dark occultists, then what is it really doing us? How is that doing us any good? You know, because that's what we see. We see that things like music and things like, you know, sports and stuff like that are definitely used against the population to keep the chains on them, is what I'm saying. And there's nothing, that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with art or there's something wrong with the bread and circus, right? There's nothing wrong with the bread and circus. It's what's wrong with us, because we're letting ourselves being to be distracted from what actually is important,
it's,
you know, abuse. By the bread and circus.
It's abuse. It's all about abuse. You know, because we're completely, you know, just falling for the bread and circus, as, you know, it's also about nihilism. You know, it's about, you know, just keeping yourself happy and having fun all the time and never looking into what truly matters and what's really going on. And that's the biggest problem. You know, that's why these dark occultists are having their way with us all the time and always have been, because they know that we will just buy into bread and circus all day long and you know, that we don't care, that we don't care to know what's actually taking place within ourselves and around ourselves, you know. And you know, I obviously, like, when I say that, I'm speaking with everyone, because me, myself, I, you know, and Brandon, we're definitely trying to make sure that we're not in that trapping. And we're, that's why we're doing this show, is because we understand that, you know, these things are actually taking place. We're trying to help people see that this is happening in oneself and, you know, the world that we live in. And it's so important to know that, you know, the imagination is easily influenced to do the things that other people want them to do, to that these dark occultists want them to do. And we have to find our care. And that's really what it's about. You know, if we don't understand our principles in nature, if we don't understand that our behavior is what is causing so much suffering in the world, if we don't understand the laws of nature and discover that within ourselves, then we keep making the same mistake. And that opportunity that comes in that, you know, a wave cycle, that time wave cycle, then we squander something that is very important to raise ourselves in consciousness to where we can actually do something and make the change, so we don't have this bloody history repeating itself over and over and over again.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, this is all about self-knowledge. You know, this is all about us understanding how we work and how we behave. And we have to get into a form of gnosis. You know, we have to really experience these things for ourselves at some level to grow and to develop. And, you know, that's not to say that you can't learn from other people's experiences, because we're all connected. I believe that we can tap into that Akashic field, or that just that field of information, and know that another person's experience is partly some of our own experiences at some fundamental level, you know. So what you've experienced, I can probably tap into spiritually and at a very, very quantum and fundamental level, where I don't have to go through that harm of directly experiencing that. This is why learning from history is so important, because we can learn from the experiences of other people, and we can actually say that there is a minute amount of gnosis coming from that as well. And trust me when I say I have direct gnosis of natural laws, existence, and how it works. And most people do. They just don't pattern recognize that that's what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, that
they're not being honest with themselves.
Right. They're not being honest with themselves. And they're also not looking at the connection between their mentality and their emotional state and what is happening to them, what behaviors they're putting out and what they're doing and happening to, what's happening to other people and what is happening to them because of that. We really, really do need to understand these principles. And, you know, a principle is a truth that creates freedom. Mm-hmm. That's what a principle is. You know, it's a truth that creates freedom. It's never something that will destroy freedom. It is always something that will create more freedom, more expansion of consciousness, and more development for the species to evolve.
I would say the act on that principle is about, you know, causing freedom.
Right. Absolutely. It has to be enacted. It has to be put into application, or we don't see any results. We can't just hold these things in our mind and expect things to change.
Right.
You know, it reminds me of the armchair quarterback who has a bunch of knowledge and knows a lot of stuff, but just sits back in his chair and doesn't do anything, you know, or even keyboard commandos, you know, people who get online and they actually do understand some of these things, but they're just sitting there putting it out there into the void of Facebook, you know, on Facebook. And I'm not saying you can't get through to people. I think there's a use for people who are doing that, as far as like, because I went through that for the first couple years of my awakening, where I was, you know, just trying to awaken people through that. And we still need to utilize that. We need to be able to utilize that, these platforms to help awaken people. But it's not the end all. You can't just stop there. It's not a place that you pitch your tent.
Right.
It's a stepping stone, you know. And you're not going to awaken the masses of people from getting on Facebook and debating people on it. It's a cul-de-sac, really. Yeah, you know, it might have gotten you somewhere at a certain point. And yeah, maybe you have gotten through to some people with that. And maybe you have changed their minds. But it's not enough to make a difference in what we are truly facing as a species. It's not enough. There's not, first of all, not everybody's on Facebook. The second thing is that it's a complete infrastructure of mind control. You know, it has been completely designed intentionally to make sure to bring in more groupthink and, you know, all the censorship that's going on these platforms, all these great top of the line researchers being blacklisted and shadow banned and things like that. That just shows you exactly what these people are about that run these platforms, you know?
Exactly. And if you really want to reach people, if you really, truly want to reach people, then you have to make it a point that, you know, every single person that you come in contact with is someone you work on. And that can mean, you know, working on someone through social media, which I am not against, but I also think that it's a lot better to engage someone, you know, one-on-one, or give presentations, make a podcast, do videos, do a video cast. These things are what's going to hit people more. And, you know, obviously the more that you speak about these things, the more your rhetoric becomes crisp and the more you understand what you're talking about and the more you can convey messages a lot better, because that's what we really need. We really need to, you know, polish our understanding in order to create a better rhetoric. And I, you know, I also want to say, like, personally, everybody in my life, everybody who I'm close to, I always find a way to speak about the most important things. And that's because I know that I am squandering opportunities if I don't. And if I can't get, you know, if I can't even like pierce someone a little bit, I'm going to be on my way. And that might sound kind of cold to people. It might sound like, you know, oh, you're not a good friend because you're, you know, you only want to talk about those things. Well, yeah, I understand these things to be the most important things. Because principles are, you know, they are that which are the most important, because they are first things. And if we don't have, if we're not established on principles, then we find ourselves very confused about what's really taking place. And then that way, and because of that, we, you know, we don't really see the big picture. We don't really understand what's taking place, like I said, within us and around us. And I, you know, personally, I, you know, anybody who I'm close to, they know I am always ready to speak on these things. I'm always ready. And I'm not, you know, someone who like gets in your face and starts making you feel bad either. I'm someone who goes into it from a scientific perspective, where, you know, I don't let my emotions get the best of me when I'm actually speaking with people, because then I squander the opportunity to explain something very clear and something very important. And, you know, it's just so important that we don't use social media as our only way of conveying our messages. You know, we have to get out there and actually say something face to face to people. We have to, you know, say something where people can hear our voice. You know, we have to use the platforms where people can actually hear us and see us. you know, and that's so vital. I can't stress that enough.
I couldn't agree with you more. I just wanted to maybe get on the topic about obfuscation a little bit before we run out of time here, if that's okay with you, Nate.
Yeah, man, go ahead.
Okay, well, you were talking about the occult, and, you know, I brought up the idea of how people would probably bring back the definition or answer of it being evil. Well, that's a form of obfuscation. So what obfuscation is to obscure something. It's to make it unintelligible or to take something simple and make it so complex that the mind can't comprehend it. Let's say how a lot of people obfuscate truth to the degree that they think it is so complex that it is so out of control, unintelligible, that we could never come to understand it, even if it did exist. Don't even look into it because it's that complex, you know, because most people probably, you know, don't really understand their own potential of intelligence, first of all, because they can look into complexity or complex things and you know, rationally get to the simplistic nature of them. But that's the reason why they take something simple and make it extremely complex. So let's say you take something like nature, like a flower, and then you make it seem so abnormally complex to the average mind that they just don't have any kind of incentive or any kind of want or desire to actually look into what nature is, or how this flower actually works, or how it's been the benefits of the flower, the medicinal uses, or, you know, anything that could be of use to you as an individual for that. And that's one way that mind control gets done, is by taking something and inverting it, right? So let's say they get you to think that up is down, black is white, as an absolute association, you know, that down is always up and up is always down. They reverse everything. That's what the dark occultists do. They don't really create anything of their own. I know I've said this before. They take everything that the good people do, the great workers, the light workers do, and they pervert it. They invert it. They use it against us. They use it to penetrate people who are not initiated. And for those who are initiated, it becomes a moral obligation to initiate other people into the occult workings of reality, because the occult workings of reality deal with all of the unseen forces in reality, being all the unseen laws that are governing our experiences here. And as long as people still fear looking into the occult and looking into alternative knowledge, then we won't get anywhere, because they don't have the correct data that is needed and that is required by universal laws to make a change. Mm-hmm. And until we get that way, we're going to continue to repeat everything that we've been doing for, you know, until we're gone, or until we turn into these, you know, golems, even further, transhuman golems, trans golems, you know? So that's exactly. My new one, trans golemism.
I like that. That's funny. Yeah.
That's what it will be, not transhumanism, you know, because at some level I can say that I'm slightly a transhumanist, because I don't mind using technology for the benefits of mankind, but not to the degree that it You're makes humans obsolete. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't agree with the idea of making humanity obsolete. But let's say you are an amputee patient and you want to use technology to help you walk again, and you get a prosthetic limb, you know, to replace your, you know, amputated limb, and you use that to be able to express your freedom. Well, there's nothing wrong with using that technology, you know, and that's kind of transhumanist, because we couldn't do that a long time ago. That's using, you know, the technology to our advantage for the betterment of mankind.
Right. Yeah, and just to, you know, I wasn't sure if you said this or not, but just to go back, what you're talking about with obfuscation, you know, that's Orwellian doublespeak, you know, and it's about understanding, like, our language can completely be twisted and turned in all directions. And we have to be aware of how that works. Because if we don't, then our minds are going to be twisted and turned in all different directions. And they are. And that's why, you know, we're doing this. And, you know.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, Nate, because we do need to talk about the language a lot more. I think that people really look very low upon our the way we speak and the origins of our words. And people really don't, they take it for granted. They really don't understand how important it is to get into the etymological definitions of the words, the ideological backings of how those words came into being, and also get into the synchronistic or synchromistic green language, you know, to get into the universal language of symbols. And this is what we're really talking about here, is becoming symbol literate, because words are symbols. It's a vibration. Words are vibratory energies and frequencies utilized to transmit, you know, meaning and purpose and understanding and experiences, you know, to something else. And so we really do have to understand this, because it's how we communicate. It's how we communicate with ourselves, and it's how we communicate with other people, and then expanded outwardly into the world, into society, into the universe, you know. So the real form of communication, the universal language, is symbols. And until we really get that, you know, that skill of being symbol literate under our belts, then we really aren't going to get anywhere either, because that's how a lot of subtle mind control is done, is through subversive influencing through symbolism, you know. Right. And we can see this all over in our society, from the gas stations, from the symbols that gas stations are using, to all the way up to like the coat of arms of royal families and things like this. There is a you know, I mean, I would say the best place to look is just walk down your street and start looking around at main corporations, or even turn on your television and start looking at your commercials. I mean, think about how much propaganda comes through commercials. To tell you the truth, I don't even know the last time I actually watched a commercial, because I don't have TV. You know, I mean, I have a television, but I don't watch television, you know. So that's one of the biggest forms of mind control also is television, which is you know, like a little green language there, right? We're talking about words. So green language, it's tell lie vision, you know, to tell a lie, to give a vision that's not your own. You know, how do you know that your likes are your own? How do you know that they weren't implanted there intentionally by, you know, dark occult sorcerers to make you behave a certain way, to steer you into a certain direction? And I mean, there's no better example of that than pop culture and pop music, really.
Right. You know, and it's the ego that will completely dismiss everything that we're saying as, you know, just a whole bunch of, you know, nonsense. And, you know, that nothing like this could ever happen. Or, you know, if I don't look into it, then I know that it's not happening because I don't believe in it, you know. And it's like, well, you know, you're only deceiving yourself. So, because these things actually are taking place, and if you want to stay ignorant, you're only going to cause more suffering within yourself and others. So,
yeah, I mean, how can you really love yourself if you're not willing to develop yourself into a better being, to understand the way that your world works, to understand how you work? How can you really love your children? How can you stand to even say that to yourself, that you love your children, when you're not actually really doing the act of love, of bettering them and helping them to develop their minds and their spiritual defense and their emotional defense? Because we see emotional mind control just running rampant everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so deep, and we're going to try really hard to get as deep as we can with this information, you know. And you know, obviously it's a topic that we could probably, you know, do a whole 50 shows on, But we're going to just try our hardest to, you know, get into all the key points and really deliver as much information as we can to help those who are really wanting to know and understand this. But this is all the time that we have today. So I want to give a little quote by Jeremy Locke before we end this. And he says, "Every false idea was created by evil to hide truth from you." And I couldn't agree more with that. And it's very, very true. So was there anything else you wanted to add before we end this, Brandon?
No, not at all. I'll continue and give some sources and references on the next episode of where to look into this. And yeah, it's been a great pleasure to be on here again with you. And I really hope that we're influencing people in the right direction. You know I can come off harsh sometimes, but I really am putting this out there from my soul. This is an act of true love. This is an act of agape. And yeah, thank you so much for being a part and listening to our podcast and supporting this podcast, because without you guys, I mean, what are we doing? You know, talking into an empty void. So thank you. Thank you very much. And namaste.
Yeah. And thank you, Brandon, for coming on here and giving your time. You know, it's always appreciated. And you can find more episodes, presentations, and news here at cubbyhole.com. That's CUBBYWHOLE.com. And also, please make sure to keep your eyes out for future shows as we go further into mind control. And, you know, another thing I want to add is the next show that Brandon and I are going to do is going to be a pretty special show. So definitely stay tuned for that. And as for now, I want to say, like I said in the beginning of the show, there's a new show. There's going to be a new show out every Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific time and every Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific time. So stay tuned for more. Thank you, and keep transcending dogma.